Good morning. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do thank you very much for coming out this morning, and I do ask for your prayers. Those of you who are visiting here from the Warrensburg local, this will be a review for you, but there will be a pop quiz for you afterwards. Okay? And any of you who were there at that time. Sometimes you think of being a Christian as, you know, it's a lot of work and it's you know, it's a big task. Well, it's not that big of a task. It does require some effort, but as it says on the screen, it is just reasonable service. And if you would open your Bibles to Romans, the 12th chapter, we will get started. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome, and he's talking to us also. Chapter 12, verse 1 of Romans says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, or you could say repenting of your sins, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. In other words, I am no better than anyone else, and neither is anyone else better than me. We're all the same in the eyes of God. We're his children, his creation, and he wants all of us to serve him in the manner in which he has commanded. No other way. Serve him in the manner in which he has commanded. Reasonable service. Change the way we think about the world and about ourselves and about sin, and desire to serve God with all our hearts, minds, and souls. Reasonable service. It's not difficult. It's fairly easy. There are a lot of people out there that say, well, I don't know if I believe. I don't know if I can believe in a God that I can't see. I don't know if I can believe these scriptures, and I don't know if I want to believe you, Sean. It's like, well, okay, that's fine. That's your choice. No one is going to force you to believe. But if you want to believe, there are things in the scriptures that are put there to help you in your belief. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's right after Proverbs. Chapter 4. This is one of the things that God wanted written in the Bible to give us a better understanding of who he is. It's chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes, and starting at verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Okay, so if you think you're going to do this alone, if you're going to be the one and only lone believer in the world, you're wrong. Okay, there's a bunch of us that believe. And we're all searching for the same thing. We're searching for the truth. And we're searching for heaven. And this right here in verse 12 gives you an idea of how you're going to get there. It says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Together as believers, we're stronger when we unite. And it says, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The threefold cord, that's like a cable. Okay? That's the thing that ties us believers all together. It goes from me to all of you and from all of you to me. And it comes from God. Okay, that threefold cord, that's the Holy Ghost. That's his love. That's the power of God that holds us and binds us together. There's nothing stronger than a cable for tying things together. Okay, now I'm going to show you some slides, some pictures of things that God has created. Now, when you make something with your own hands, like if you make a finger painting or you make a clay pot or whatever it is that you make with your own hands, sometimes you will take your pen or your paintbrush or whatever, or a stick, and you'll scratch your name in it so people know that you did it. But whether you do that or not, you leave your mark on it. And no one is going to make a pot the same way that you do. Okay? It's impossible for one individual to make a pot exactly perfect like another individual with their own hands. It doesn't happen. Everybody does it a little bit different. But we all leave our mark on it. We leave our fingerprints, because we made it. Okay? So I want you to look at these pictures. This is evidence. This is a pineapple, one of my favorite fruits. Okay? God made it. It's probably grown on a farm somewhere. Danielle hopes it wasn't from Hawaii. But you can see this pineapple, if you start at the very bottom of the pineapple and you pick one of those little pieces, one of those little circular things, and you follow the little path on up, you can see that it kind of spirals on up around to the top. Well, there's the back of a baby's head. Do you see how the hair is laid out in the pattern? It spirals. This is a rose. The petals of the rose are laid out in a pattern. They spiral out from the center. This is a sunflower. This one's easy to see. You can see how each little sunflower seed is laid out in a pattern from the center. It spirals. This is a fingerprint. Okay, it has the spiral or the whorl or the wave in it. That's the way God made our fingerprints. Now he said, I made you in my image. I gave you a body, a head, arms, legs, hands, and feet. And I gave you fingerprints because I made you to look like me. He controls the waves of the ocean. He made everything and he controls everything. This has a spiral in it. kind of like a fingerprint. This is a picture of DNA laid out. This is what tells the cells in your body as to what's going to happen next, what they're going to become. It helps your body grow the way God wants it to grow. And you can see that it's laid out in a spiral. This is a hurricane. He controls the wind. He controls our planet. He controls the universe. And it's in a spiral. This one here, I knew this existed, but it took me a while to find it. And it's only been recently put into picture form. But this right here is how our sun, with the planets, is actually traveling through the universe. Okay? Our sun does not stand still in the universe. It's traveling just like all the other stars out there. They're in constant movement. That's that yellow glowing ball in the middle. You can see all of these little spirally lines around it with the little points of light at the end. Those are the planets following the sun through the universe in a spiral. That's how it actually works. It's not that 3D image that you made in science class back in school where they're all laid out like this and they're in their orbit around the sun and they're stationary. No, they're actually going through the universe and they're following the path of the sun in a spiral. And if I remember right, the sun's going through the universe, they say, at a rate of about 44,000 miles an hour. I'm glad someone's in control. Now this one here, they talked about this in the book of Ecclesiastes. We just read it. Okay, this is a threefold cord. This threefold cord is the thing that you would learn in anatomy class. It's called laminin. This is a laminin molecule. A strand of laminin is what actually keeps your body together, keeps the bones. It's what joins the tendon to the bone. It's the glue that ties you together. It's what holds your heart in place and your lungs in place. It's what glues everything together. It's made of three separate strands of protein, and it's actually twisted together in a cord. It's a three-strand cord, and laminin is one of the strongest substances in your body. It will actually cause the bone to be ripped off before laminin will give way. Okay? It will tear the bone before laminin will break. That's how strong laminin is. And it holds us together. So these are things that you can look at on a day-to-day basis, and you can see it out there in the world. You can go pick up a snail shell in your garden. You can go look at a tree and see how it grows. Doesn't matter what it is, you can see evidence that God has touched it, that God has made it. There is proof out there if you need proof that God did what he said. If you're someone who needs that. I just like driving down the road and looking at these things as I'm driving by and going, I see it, I see it, I see it, I see it in all things. When I'm standing in line at Quick Trip, someone's in front of me at the pop machine or the cash register. I look at the back of their head and I go, you have no idea, but I can see God's mark on you. And it reminds me, he created them just like he created me. And I need to treat them as the most special thing that there is because he made them. And he loves them. Just like he loves me. And he wants them to receive their soul salvation. just as the same as he does for me. And I need to remember that. It's one of the reasons why he gave us all of this evidence and why he said, I did it in the scriptures. I made it. If you'll open your Book of Mormon to the second book of Nephi, first chapter, we're going to start at verse 94. This is on page 84 of the Book of Mormon. Verse 94. And now, my sons, I speak unto you these things for your profit and learning. For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them is. Both things to act and things to be acted upon, and to bring about his eternal purposes in the end of man. After that he had created our first parents and the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, and in fine, all things which are created, and we see evidence of that, it must needs be that there was an opposition. Even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet and the other bitter. Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. You have free will. You can choose to believe or not believe. That's your choice. God is not going to force you to believe in him. It's your choice. Wherefore, man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other. He is trying to entice you by showing you all these things and giving you evidence so that it makes it easier for you to believe in him. You just have to choose to accept it. And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven. Wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. And because that he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. Wherefore he saith unto Eve, yea, even that old serpent which is the devil, which is the father of all lies, wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die. But ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And so Satan also had free will. He didn't have to serve God just because he was an angel. He was given a choice. And he chose not to, because he lusted after power. He wanted what God was. He wanted to be like God. And Eve and Adam, they went along with him when they partook of the forbidden fruit because they lusted after the fruit. They committed the sin. The first sin that was committed was by Satan. He lied after he lusted. He lied. The second sin was committed by Eve. She touched the fruit. Then she committed the third sin and she ate the fruit. So she lusted and she sinned. Same way with Adam. He lusted after it and then he sinned. And that's what we do in our minds when we commit sin. We want. I want to do that. I desire to do that. And then I think about how I'm going to do that. And there's the sin. And then I do it, and there's another sin. Okay? So you have to change your mind about sin. You have to, the renewing of your mind. You need to start saying, I don't want to sin. I want to keep God's commandments. I believe in God. And I desire to serve him, not Satan and not myself, but God. Because I want that love and I want that joy and I want that peace in my heart for forever. And there's evidence out there that says, if I will believe and if I will keep his commandments, I will obtain that joy for forever, here and in heaven. Because if you choose to believe here, you do get joy. Because you get to see God in all things. But it's a choice. And after that, Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out from the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And they have brought forth children, yea, even the family of all the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Wherefore their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandment that all men must repent. Change the way you look at sin and recognize and realize that if you die in your sins, you will end up in hell for eternity with no joy and no happiness for forever. And some of I taught the 9-year-old class again this year, and some of them wanted to know, well, what is hell? Okay? Hell is, and I explained it to them this way: hell is outer darkness where there is no light whatsoever. There's no light from the sun, nor the stars, nor the moon, no candles, no streetlights, no light. It's way out in outer darkness, okay? And because there's no light, there's no physical heat there, you're alone, and it is bitterly cold to your body. But the burning that you're going to feel is on the inside in your soul, okay? You're going to be burning on the inside and freezing cold on the outside, and it's going to be miserable for forever and dark, outer darkness. So they took that lesson and they went home and they told their parents, I know where hell is. It's in outer space. It's like, no, it's outer darkness. Okay? It's complete lack of light, and it's cold and it's hot at the same time, inside and out, and it's a miserable, miserable place to exist for forever. You don't want to go there, but it's your choice. For he shewed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents. And now, behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were, after that they were created. And they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. And he's not saying that because you grow up and you get married and you have kids, you're going to be miserable. He's saying that you're going to have joy because you experience life. Okay? There will be good days and bad days, but everybody's going to be living the same kind of a life. They'll all have good days, they'll all have bad days. And how you look at it, how you choose to look at it, what you choose to believe in, that's either going to bring you joy or bring you misery. It's your choice. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. That was God. Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. Not that they will have joy, or that they've been guaranteed and promised by God that they will have joy every day here, but that they might have joy if they so choose it, even for eternity if they want it. It's a promise. But it's our choice. Turn to the book of Moroni, 7th chapter. Oh, did we go too far? No, that's right. Moroni, chapter 7, verse 45. And this is going to talk to us about hope and faith and charity. Okay? Hope is believing in something that you want to be true, something that you can see, like the scriptures. You want the word to be true. You have hope in it. Okay? You believe in it and you want it to be true. You can read the word and you can see it and you want it to be true. You hope. Okay? You hope that God is real. You hope that he exists. That's called faith. I believe in something I can't see. Verse 45. This is on page 767. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Well, I hope that what it says is true. Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. I have faith in him because of the promise, and I have shown my faith in him by obeying him and keeping his commandments. I have repented of my sins. I have gone down into the waters of baptism. I have received the laying on of hands and been baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. I have faith in him. And I've shown my faith to him through my works in keeping his commandments. And because of that, he has shown me other things. I've seen people be healed. I've been healed myself many times. Last Sunday, I came here to the evening service needing to be administered to because I had a sore throat and a sore ear. And I knew that all last week I was going to need to be able to speak because I was going to be teaching 11 9-year-old kids. So I got administered to. Went home, went to bed, woke up the next morning, and my sore throat and earache was completely gone. He took care of it. So all I had to do was exercise a little faith and say, I'd like to be administered to. And he took care of it for me. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart, willing to do what God has commanded. If so, his faith and hope are vain. If I'm not willing, my faith and hope would be vain. For none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, even the bad days. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers. Christians, that's what they're called. True followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. So you have to have faith, you have to have hope, and you have to keep his commandments. Go to chapter 8, Book of Moroni, page 769. Verse 11. Okay, this is commandments. What do you got to do? Behold, I say unto you that this thing shall ye teach. Repentance, changing the way you look at sin and realize that if you die in your sins without forsaking them, not desiring to do them again, you have not repented and you will go to hell for eternity. Simple. And baptism, unto they which are accountable and capable of committing sin. Yea, teach parents that they must repent and be baptized, and humble themselves as their little children, and they shall all be saved with their little children. And their little children need no repentance, neither baptism. Little kids do not need to be baptized, because they're not capable of making a conscientious enough decision as to whether they're going to partake of the sin or not partake of the sin. You've got to be able to think it through. If they can't think it through, they're not held accountable. They're little children. And they're covered under the blood of Christ. They do not need to be baptized. But parents, and you people who are old enough to make a conscientious decision, you will be held accountable for the choice you made. Not me. I'm not going to be held accountable for you except unless I tell you the truth. And this is the truth. The only thing I'm going to be held accountable for is my actions as to whether I did what God commanded me to do. Repent. Be baptized and keep his commandments to the end of your life. Behold, baptism is unto repentance, to the fulfilling the commandments, unto the remission of sins. Now, we're not the only people on the planet who have ever said to ourselves, well, if God would just show me a sign, it'd be a whole lot easier to believe. You know, if he would just show me something, answer a little prayer or something, it'd make it easier. We're not the only people on the planet that have felt that way. And this is not the only time in history that people have thought that way. It's been that way from the beginning. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Okay, so God is telling this person, Ahaz, ask for a sign. Go ahead. Go ahead. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Come on, you guys. I'm trying to help you out here, is what he's saying. kind of like a dad to his kids when he's trying to get them to understand something. Oh, man. Why do you make it so hard? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. That name is the coolest name because it's a bunch of names put together. Emmanuel. Okay? And they knew it. The Hebrew people know that this word, Emmanuel, is made up of a whole bunch of different Hebrew words. Okay? Some of it means God with us. And you know, the last part, Yuel, that has a whole bunch of meanings. It means a mighty tree, a door header, a door post. It means a chief ram of the flock. It means a bunch of different things. It means a doorway. It means the covering of the tent of the tabernacle of God that they took around everywhere they were walking. That covering was painted red with ram's blood. And it was referred to as Yuel. Okay? Made out of ram skin and painted red with ram's blood. And it was called Yuel. Okay, the covering of where the Ark of the Covenant rested is in this name. And they had it. And it means a bunch of things. It means a chief man among you. It means the body rolled together as one. That's in the name, Yuel. Body rolled together as one. That's what he was trying to tell them in the book of Ecclesiastes. I am this. I am what holds you together, Emmanuel. And they had all of this evidence, and they refused to believe that it could be Jesus Christ. But it was their choice. They had this. Every year, they would paint their doorways with the blood of the lamb that they sacrificed on Passover. That is Emmanuel. It's in the name. So they had evidence. He kept trying to point it out to them, and they refused to believe because they didn't want to. Now, we have evidence. And whether you choose to believe or not, that's your choice. But he is trying his best to get you to understand he exists. He made it all. And he wants you to join him in heaven. But it's your choice. Turn to John, the 10th chapter. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The door of the sheep, painted in the blood of the sheep, the header, the doorpost. He is it. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Take upon you the name of Christ and enter through that door. Believe in him and you shall be one of his sheep. You shall find green pastures. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In order for Jesus Christ to fulfill all righteousness, he had to be baptized with water. And he was perfect, no sin. And Jesus, well, then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How would you like to hear God say that about you? It can happen if you want it to. Because as you walk through that gate into heaven, if you've kept his commandments, you will hear that. This is one of mine, and I am well pleased in this one. John, the 14th chapter. But it's our choice. Oh, come on. My hands aren't working so good this morning. Kind of shaky. Fourteenth chapter of John, 15th verse. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It's a promise from the being that created all things and has shown you that he did it. He has all power and authority, and there was no one above him. And he says, I will come to you in the Holy Ghost. It's your choice. Chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. As a Christian, your job is to go out and bring forth fruit. Spread the love of Christ everywhere you go. Be nice to those people who are around you. When you look at them, realize that God created them just like he created you, and he loves them as much as he loves you. And you're supposed to treat them really nice. Even the people that are on the road with you, the people that work with you, everybody, even the ones that are treating you badly, you're still supposed to treat them nice. They don't have to be your best friend, But you have to treat them nice and in a loving way and recognize that God wants their souls to be saved too, not just yours. That your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Do you want to be a servant or do you want to be a friend? Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. They served him, they kept his commandments, they became his friend. James chapter 2. You want to be Jesus' friend? It's your choice. He's already there, like my grandkids, you know, like, who's your friend? You ask Emerson, who's your friend? Guinevere, Sebastian? Yeah, those are your friends? Yeah, because he chose them. Okay? It's your choice. Do you want Jesus as your friend? Choose him as your friend and do what he asks you to do. Play with him the way he's wanting you to. Keep his commandments. It's reasonable. It's not unreasonable service. It's very reasonable. And the rewards are the greatest friendship you'll ever experience. But it's your choice. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Saved them from being killed there at Jericho. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You can say you believe all you want, but if you don't do something about it, it's dead. You're dead. Let's go back to the Book of Mormon. Second book of Nephi, chapter 1. We're going to pick up where we left off on verse 115. This is on page 86 of the Book of Mormon. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life, through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. It's your choice. I'm going for happiness and eternal life. That's what I choose. That's why I'm up here. because he told me to. He asked me to. And I said yes. So here I am, because I want eternal life. I want eternal happiness. I want to see heaven. I've experienced the Holy Ghost here. I've seen the fire come into my room. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's the most beautiful thing you can ever imagine. And the feeling of it, I never felt so much love in all my life. And heaven is going to be so much more than that. And I want it. And I choose it. Or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate. Don't listen to the flesh. Don't listen to your body. Listen to your soul. Your soul's screaming at your body saying, don't commit sin. Don't do it. Don't give in to the lust of the flesh. This is going to die and fade away. And then we're going to be in hell for eternity because you're listening to the flesh. You're not listening to God. You're saying, I'm busy. I'll do it later. I don't want to do it now. I like sin at the moment. You know, when I was explaining hell to that guy at Quick Trip a couple weeks ago and told him, you know, he's saying, man, he was hot. You know, he asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm doing great. I said, how are you doing? And he had just been working outside. He says, I am so hot. He says, I feel like I've been in hell. And I said, well, you really want to know what hell's like? And I started explaining to him about outer darkness and the physical cold and all of that. And he's like, well, that sounds like the place for me, you know. And I talked to you guys about this. But, yeah, don't. It's not what you think it's going to be. It is not a good place. So don't go there. You don't have to if you don't want to. Choose not to. Keep his commandments. Repent of your sins. Be baptized with water. And then have the laying on of hands for the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. It's not that hard. You just have to choose it. You just have to say, I'm doing it. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know that if you don't, you're going to end up in hell for eternity. All right, let's finish. And not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. I have spoken these few words unto you all, my sons, in the last days of my probation. And I have chosen the good part according to the words of the prophet. And I have none other object, save it be the everlasting welfare of your souls. Amen.